Let's read together Exodus chapter 4, verses 1 through 17. In this first half of the chapter, we have the reluctance of Moses to respond to God's call and the Lord's gracious response to the objections of Moses. Let's begin by reading verses 1 through 9. Exodus chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.' So the Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A rod.' And he said, 'Cast it on the ground.' So he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it. Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Reach out your hand and take it by the tail.' And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you. Furthermore, the Lord said to him, 'Now put your hand in your bosom.' And he put his hand in his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous, like snow. And he said, 'Put your hand in your bosom again.' So he put his hand in his bosom again and drew it out of his bosom, and behold, it was restored like his other flesh. Then it will be, if they do not believe you, nor heed the message of the first sign, that they may believe the message of the latter sign. And it shall be, if they do not believe even these two signs, or listen to your voice, that you shall take water from the river and pour it on the dry land. The water which you take from the river will become blood on the dry land." Let's begin our study of this first half of Exodus chapter 4 with some background notes. In Exodus chapter 3, the Lord revealed himself to Moses from the burning bush and called Moses to be the leader of God's people for the exodus from Egypt. Let's read part of this interesting and significant account once again. Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I will now turn aside to see this great sight, why the bush does not burn." So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." Moreover, he said, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, "I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses' reaction to this commission was not one of joy. Moses did not jump up and down and shout hallelujah or praise the Lord. No, instead he said in chapter 3, verse 11, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" Now here in chapter 4, we see that the reluctance of Moses continues. Even after the Lord had said, "Certainly I will be with you," and then backed up his promise with his name of I Am, Moses was still hesitant to step out as God's leader. By the way, God's revelation of himself as the great I Am is the name that Jesus claimed for himself in John 8:58. When he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Remember, it was at this point that the Jews picked up stones to throw at him, not for claiming to be just a prophet, but for claiming to be God. Jesus certainly claimed to be God. Now back to Moses. In spite of God's promises to Moses to be with him and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt with silver and gold and clothing, even to the safe haven of Mount Sinai, Moses was still reluctant. Look at verse 1 of chapter 4 once again. Then Moses answered and said, "But suppose they will not believe me or listen to my voice. Suppose they say, 'The Lord has not appeared to you.'" So now the Lord patiently and graciously condescends to the reluctance of Moses and gives him three miraculous signs. in order to give them confidence and confirmation. And that brings us then to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Exodus chapter 4. Doctrinal point number one, the Lord provides confirmation for his chosen servants. The Lord provides confirmation for his chosen servants. For the first confirming sign, God told Moses to take his shepherd's staff and throw it on the ground. It became a snake. Moses ran from the snake. And so would I. How about you? I hate snakes, even little ones. Does anybody here like snakes? You can't be spiritual if you like snakes. I'm only kidding. I'm only kidding. Now the Lord told Moses to grab the snake by its tail. Did you ever try to grab a snake by the tail? You know, by this time, I know I would have told the Lord to choose another leader. But Moses obeyed, and the snake became a staff again. For the second confirming sign, Moses' hand became white with leprosy. Then it was restored again. And for the third confirming sign, Moses was told that if the people would not believe the first two signs, then Moses would be enabled to turn water from the Nile River into blood. And we see in chapter 7 that this became one of the plagues that God brought on the land of Egypt. And we see in verse 30 of this chapter that Moses performed all of these signs before the children of Israel. Verse 30, and Aaron spoke all the words which the Lord had spoken to Moses. Then he did the signs in the sight of all the people. Now, why did God use these three signs to confirm the divine commission of Moses? First of all, these signs showed God's power over the gods of Egypt. The snake was an object of worship in Egypt. The image of a snake was even featured on many of the crowns of Egypt. And then God's miraculous cure of leprosy would certainly show God's power over the many diseases of Egypt. In Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26, God said that he would protect his people from the diseases of Egypt. And then the Nile, of course, was the lifeblood of Egypt. If the God of the Hebrews could control the Nile, then he was more powerful than any god in Egypt. Now, do you also see the spiritual symbolism in these three confirming signs? The serpent represents Satan. Satan is under the control of God. Leprosy represents sin throughout the Bible. God can cleanse a person from sin. And the Nile represented life. God is the source of all life, physical and spiritual. As God confirmed his chosen servant Moses with these signs, so God confirms his chosen servants today. In your walk of faith and ministry, when you see the Lord overturning the work of Satan, and when you see unbelievers coming to Christ and being cleansed from the leprosy of sin, and when you see your life and the lives of others being blessed as a result of your ministry, you can be sure that God is confirming you as his servant. The Lord provides confirmation to his chosen servants. Doctrinal point number two, the Lord provides assistance for his chosen servants. The Lord provides assistance for his chosen servants. Verses 10 through 17. Then Moses said to the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither before nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. So the Lord said to him, who has made man's mouth, or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. But he said, O my Lord, please send by the hand of whomever else you may send. So the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, is not Aaron the Levite your brother? I know that he can speak well, and look, he is also coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. Now you shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you shall do. So he shall be your spokesman to the people, and he himself shall be as a mouth for you, and you shall be to him as God. And you shall take this rod in your hand with which you shall do the signs. Apparently, Moses was not an eloquent speaker. But so what? God called him. We see that the Lord was angry with Moses for using this excuse and having the audacity to tell God to choose another leader. But once again, we see God's patient and gracious tolerance of Moses' reluctance. The Lord's response to Moses in verse 11 is very significant. Verse 11, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? You see the significance of that verse? People who justify an abortion on the basis of a handicapped fetus need to read this verse one more time. So the Lord said to Moses, who has made man's mouth? Or who makes the mute, the deaf, the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, the Lord? This verse shows that God is in charge of these matters. How dare we play God? In verse 14, the Lord told Moses that he would give him Aaron, his brother, as a spokesman before the people. Moses would do the signs and give the word of the Lord to Aaron, but Aaron would do the speaking. The Lord provides assistance for his chosen servants, even when the Lord has to tolerate the hang-ups of those servants. This should be very encouraging to us, because we are all called to be the Lord's servants, and many times we make excuses. We can be sure that the Lord will give us the assistance we need for whatever he calls us to do, even when we make excuses and are reluctant to serve. The Lord provides assistance for his chosen servants. Now, what about practical application for this portion of Exodus chapter 4? Use whatever you have to serve the Lord. Use whatever you have to serve the Lord. In verse 2, the Lord asked Moses, what is that in your hand? The Lord would ask us the same question. What is that in your hand? Whatever the Lord gives us in our hand, as it were, we can use in service for his glory. At this point, Moses had a shepherd's staff in his hand. He used it as the Lord directed to serve the Lord. Notice that in verse 20, this staff is now called the staff of God because it was being used in service for the Lord. Verse 20, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. Do you see the practical application? So what is it that is in your hand? A musical instrument? A pen? A paintbrush? A hammer? The steering wheel of a van? A financial statement of your investments? A weekly planner with a couple of free hours or some hours that should be freed up? All of these things can be used to serve the Lord. What is that in your hand? Use whatever you have to serve the Lord.